a certain group that has this idea of praying in the Spirit as some ecstatic occurrence where if you're really sincere in your heart and you really get right with God and you really get down on both knees and you just completely prostrate yourself and there you are and you really get serious with God and give it all you've got that you can pray through. Well, it's based on an ecstatic experience. It's based on emotion. It's based on feeling. And I certainly have feelings and emotions toward God. But really, praying in the Spirit is, by biblical definition, praying the way the Spirit says you're supposed to pray. And that's one reason that I don't claim to have a complete knowledge of this, because I don't understand all the Word of God. But what I do understand about it, when I pray, I try not to ask for things that I know the Word of God says I shouldn't ask for. And so when I pray in the Spirit, I believe I'm supposed to be praying for things that the Spirit has taught me by what He wrote through those writers so that I can know what to ask for and what not to ask for. Now, first of all, let me say this. Praying is an experience that you have with God from your heart. And back when I was a young man who didn't know anything about the Bible, and now I know I don't know anything, I just prayed what I was capable of praying, and sometimes I'd just cry out from my heart to God in just absolute, abject confusion. Well, God's Holy Spirit takes all that, and He unravels it and puts it in the right perspective, and it all works out. I have an advocate with the Father. But we are accountable to God to understand in His Word what God says is important to pray for and what God thinks is something that's not as important to pray for. And I think the more important things to pray for are spiritual things. We spend a great deal of time praying for things that have to do with our physical welfare, and certainly God would approve of that. I'm not saying that's not the case. But I wish we would spend more time praying for spiritual things, and then the physical things would tend to more or less take care of themselves. Praying in the Spirit. In Jude 20, he says, "But ye beloved," referring to those who were undoubtedly members of one of the churches of that day, "building up yourselves." It talks about building up yourself. It's something that's going to require an action on your part in response to God's Spirit. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, certainly if you're going to pray in the Holy Spirit, and it's going to have to do with building up yourselves on your most holy faith, then you need to know what your most holy faith is. You need to know what faith is. You need to know how the Bible defines it. You need to realize there's not only a saving faith, but there's a faith you live by. The just, meaning a man already justified, the just shall live by faith. So the more you understand about faith and the ramifications of faith, the more you understand what the Spirit has written in His Word about faith, the more capable you are of addressing a prayer to God that's in accordance with what the Holy Ghost wrote through those men down through the ages, about 40 different men over a 15 to 1600 year period. So it's important that you build up yourselves on your most holy faith so that you can pray in the Holy Ghost and not pray things contradictory to what the Holy Ghost has written in what we call the Bible. To pray in the Holy Ghost, one must build themselves up on the faith revealed in His Word. This is a very important concept. It has to do with spiritual man. It has to do with what spiritual man needs. I'm a physical man. You can see that my physical man eats a lot. You can see that he's well fed. He's well cared for. If I would spend as much time being concerned about what my spiritual man got to eat and how much he got to eat, and would let my spiritual man grow as much as my carnal man grows, I could be a spiritual giant. Now, God gave us His Word. It's actual, literal, true, genuine, undeniable, inspired, spiritual food. And the more that you're exposed to it, and the more you listen to it, and the more you read it and study it for yourselves, it feeds your spiritual man. It informs your spiritual man. It helps your spiritual man to grow in knowledge and wisdom and truth. It helps your spiritual man to know what God wants from you, what pleases God, and what doesn't please God. And there's a source for it. The Spirit wrote the book we call the Bible as a source that we could draw from to understand what spiritual things were, and being fed by understanding, and the understanding would make our spiritual man build up and become stronger and stronger. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It was God's Spirit that quickeneth. Zoe, it's made me alive. It was God's Spirit that gave me the new birth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, I have an emotional high in religion. Sometimes people trade that off for an experience. I've actually heard many people make this statement. They say, Brother Michael Murray, I get more out of going to an all-night sing and listening to those gospel singers sing than I do out of hearing the Word of God preached. They say it moves me and makes me feel good. They say I get more out of that. Well, what you get out of it is an emotional high and a spiritual high. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Every time I hear that song, of course it's sung better by a real singer, it just sends chills up and down my spine. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel patriotic. It doesn't have a thing in the world to do with spirituality. I'm an American, and I love this country, and I defend it, but that's an emotional thing. You can get yourself built up on spiritual songs, but it's an emotional high. Now, if you want to listen to the words, and you want to practice what the words say, and if the words are taken from Scripture, then you can get some spiritual insight out of it. But why go and settle for that when you've got God's Word, and it's direct, and it's pure, and it's untouched by human lyrists? So, brothers and sisters in Christ, many times people substitute physical and material feelings for something that's spiritual, and they really believe that they're getting a spiritual high. When you walk out of a church service, and you're mad as a wet hen, and you've got 1,001 irritations going through you, and it's because of what's been preached, if it was the truth, and you know it was the truth, and it made you mad, that's the best thing ever happened to you, because when you get home, you might actually repent. But when you have a preacher that entertains you and gives you little cute ditties that you can remember, and all you remember are the four L's, David was loafing, lusting, looking, and losing, that doesn't give you one single solitary thing to build up your spiritual man, and you haven't been fed, you've been entertained. And a lot of people want preachers that are entertaining rather than people that preachers that preach the Word of God. The flesh profiteth nothing. All right. How am I going to learn what to pray for and what not to pray for? The words on your most holy faith, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These words are spirit and they're life. It's God-breathed. It's inspired from cover to cover. I don't use anything but the received text, the Textus Receptus. I'm one of those old sticklers for that. I think it was the best of all the documents, and I'll die believing that, and you'll never see me preach out of anything from this day forward except the King James translation. I believe that the received text that was given to the King James translators was the best of all the documents. I believe it was better than Alexandrinus, Vaticanus, and Sinaiticus. And this is the book that I preach from. I believe it's God's Word. And I believe it tells me what I need to do spiritually and how my spiritual man needs to be made stronger and how that God's Son living inside me can build up my spirit to where this spirit can do a much better job at controlling the flesh. I need to starve my flesh and feed my spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if you're going to pray in the Holy Ghost and it's going to be based on building yourself up on your most holy faith, you want to know what the most holy faith is, then you need to be built up and grow and become strong by the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And now, brethren, Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. One of the things that I've learned since I came to this church is the difference between the programs and the methodology that men use and what the Bible indicates a church should use. And you're not going to change me. Now, God's Word has changed me. God's Word has made me think a different way. You say, well, you've misinterpreted it. I seriously doubt that. Because when I came here, I had all the same ideas that I'd had growing up as a boy. And I thought that was the way it was supposed to be done. But the more I've looked at God's Word, and the more I've studied it, the more I've realized that the Word of grace is able to build up God's people. And my responsibility as pastor of this church is to feed it to them. And my responsibility is to point out that there's an advantage to it to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And it's my responsibility as pastor to let you know that if you want to do what God wants, and if you want to learn how to pray and do what you're supposed to do, and ask for things you should and not ask for things you shouldn't, then the information is found in God's Word, and you need to be built up in your spiritual man as he becomes stronger, will know what to pray for, and will be do a better job of it. The Lord Jesus Christ increased in stature and wisdom. The Bible says so. He grew up, and he learned. He was always perfect, but he grew up, and he learned. And he said, "Wist ye not that I be about my Father's business?" I'll tell you why there aren't a lot of people here tonight. Oh, we've got a pretty fair number here tonight, but there are a lot of people that could be here tonight. Some of them have legitimate excuses, but others aren't here simply for this reason. They don't want to be built up. They're not interested in spiritual things. They're not interested in growing spiritually. And so I'm supposed to institute a whole new system of programs and ideas and adopt a personality of being old good time Charlie with a mouth full of teeth and a smiling face and a handshake and keep them here? You won't keep them here long. I guarantee you won't keep them here long. And all you'll just be doing is wasting your time, their time, and God's. Rooted and built up in him. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, there's a great deal of satisfaction and a great deal of inner joy and happiness that's expressed in thanksgiving to God when you learn from his word the things that he has to teach you. I don't know what excites you and doesn't excite you spiritually. I do care, but there's not much I can do to change it. But I'll tell you what excites me spiritually. When I learn something new in the Word of God about the Lord, about the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, when I learn something new in the Word that's going to make me try to expend more effort from my soul to serve God, and when I find more incentive in the Word of God, a new incentive that I didn't realize that was there before, that excites me. That thrills me because it gives my spirit ammunition. It gives my spirit strength. It gives my spirit a reason and an objective for living. And it gives me something that when my flesh comes against me, I can say, "Now, wait a minute, flesh, listen, this is important." Don't think that when I'm tempted to get angry and irritated, and when I do, that God's spirit doesn't come after me. And don't think that these things I've learned don't affect me, because they're the very things that I've learned that the spirit uses to come after me. If I stand up here and tell you and quote to you, "A new commandment I've given to you, that you love one another as I have loved you," and yet I'm unforgiving and uncompromising and unkind towards you, and I bear a grudge towards you, don't you think God's Holy Spirit doesn't come after me with that? Don't you think that the very thing I have said to you doesn't bounce back on me a lot harder than it does on your heart? God's Spirit wants to witness to my spirit. And God's Spirit does witness to my spirit. But he's chosen to use that book. Now, I'm not saying there aren't other ways he does, but the book is the instrument. And the book is what God uses to convict me. And the book is what God uses to direct me. And the book is what God uses to teach me how to pray. And the book is what teaches me how to be thankful to God for what he's already given me. And if you don't come and attend church regularly, and if you're not faithful in God's church, if you don't study the word yourself, and if you don't have any interest in it, your spiritual man will dwindle away to a little skinny booger that has about the power of a chinchy bug. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to have our spiritual feeding every day from God's word. It doesn't just need to be from the pulpit or from Sunday school class. It needs to be at home. And you need to study the word for yourselves and grow spiritually every day. Because the more you grow spiritually, the better you are able to communicate with the God, because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 14. What we're talking about is, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 14. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." The spirit of the world can get all inflamed with some country and western singer singing a song like, "Well, last Saturday night I got married. Me and my wife settled down. Now me and my wife are parted. I'm gonna take another stroll downtown." Well, of course, I don't sing like Lefty Frizzell, but if I did, that used to thrill a lot of people. And I'm sure that if I had a good religious voice and could sing some of those songs like Patty, whatever her name is, sings, that I could just thrill you to death. And I bet you'd pay something like $30 to go one of her concerts. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you wouldn't pay 10 cents to come to church. And the truth of the matter is, you ought to be more interested in what the Bible has to say than what some of these singers have to say. And if you knew how much these people made and how they made merchandise out of the people that are listening to them, you wouldn't think they were all that spiritual or all that wonderful. You say, "Well, Brother McElmurray, you don't know them." I know more about them than you think. I rode back on a plane one time that used to do the setup for those guys. And he named off those guys one by one and those good old gals. And some of the, one of those good old gals that you think so highly of on television, that's very, very religious and very, very wonderful and tells you that all the time and bounces around on the stage, he told me she was a real B-I-T-C-H. And he said she's the worst one to set up for in, that we've ever been around. He said she throws temper tantrums. She acts like a small child. He said some of these guys that don't even believe there's a God, he said they're pretty good old boys and treat us all right. But he said this one woman, he said she's a holy terror. And some of you think she's wonderful. Just, oh, isn't that a wonderful song? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the flesh has a lot more to do with worshiping God than most people give it credit for. It doesn't believe in God, but it loves to put out a form of worship and get some type of emotional stimulation. I want the Word of God, and I want it straight, and I want God to tell me what I need to pray for and what I don't need to pray for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look, I care about her physical health. I don't want her to be sick, and I'll pray for her. But you know what I want for her? I want her to grow spiritually. I want her to become stronger. I want her to keep her mind where she can still worship God, where she can still pray for me and pray for this church and pray for the things that are important. I want the same thing for Sister Barnes. I care about your physical life. I care whether you're sick. I really do. And I don't want to see you sick. And if you've got arthritis, you know, I pray about Burma. Inside it hurts me because I know she hurts all the time. But I can't do anything about that. I pray about it. But I'm a lot more concerned about Burma's spiritual growth and about Bob's spiritual growth and about Giles' spiritual growth and about my spiritual growth than I am that has anything to do with you physically. I want you to grow spiritually because that's what you're going to be rewarded for, and it'll make you a more effective Christian in this community, and people can see more of God in your heart and in your lives. We need to pray more for spiritual things. How many times on that prayer request list out there, do you ever see a prayer request for somebody for a spiritual reason? Oh, you put a spiritual reason on there, you want to see them saved, and certainly that you should do that, and we should want to see them saved. But how many times do you see a request on that list out there so somebody will grow spiritually? And how many times have you prayed as a member of this church for somebody to grow spiritually? You pray for the sicknesses, for the illnesses, for everything that's possible to continue this carnal man, and yet the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Today on television, these merchants on television that call themselves ministers are making merchandise of the people. They're making millions of dollars. Hal Lindsey is a multimillionaire. And so is John Hagee coming along with this new book he's putting out. Do you think they have deep spiritual insight and really have your spiritual welfare at heart? Try to get them to preach a funeral for you. Try to get them to do something for you physically. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you something. The best thing that can ever happen to you is that you come to know more about the things that God has freely made available for you in heaven. And actually, people don't really want to know that. They want to know how God will heal them of sickness and all the other things. We ought to want to know more about spiritual things. We ought to pray and ask God to help us understand more of the spiritual things that He has freely given to us of God, and we ought to be sharing it with one another. But instead, we're more interested in all the things that our flesh appeals to, numbers and everything else, and we think numbers are the key and answer to everything. I'd much rather have a church full of people that loved the Lord and cared for the Lord and were spiritual in the Lord and were growing in the Lord than a bunch of infantile babies in Christ running around like a bunch of wild bunnies with their tails up in the air, not knowing which way to go and not wanting to learn any more than what they already knew. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, how does the Holy Ghost teach you? Do you just get down and get serious and say, okay, Lord, lay it on me. Lay it on me. Okay, I'm ready, Lord. Let me have it. That's what a lot of people think. And yet the Scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're going to have to study. You can ask God's Holy Spirit to give you guidance and insight while you study. But unless you have a desire to want to understand what God's Spirit has to say and you're willing to expend the effort by following His leadership as He leads you to study, then, my friend, you're never going to amount to a hill of beans in God's work. Which things also we speak. It was what they spoke. Who spoke? The man that wrote that. Paul. What was he writing? Scripture. What is it that the Holy Ghost uses us to teach us? What you're looking at on that screen. What that man wrote. Scripture. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You better learn to compare spiritual things with spiritual from this book. Don't do it based on a feeling or an emotional or an idea of what you think or what you suspect or a hypothesis or a premises. Base it on this.
And unless you're willing to study this book, unless you're willing to let it teach you what is spiritual and what isn't, then you're going to live your whole life based on an emotional feeling and an idea that you have, and you say, well, here's the way I feel about it. Well, you better be concerned about how God says it is and not how you feel about it. And you better get out of a church that isn't interested in that, that's based on feeling and emotion that makes you feel good when you walk out. And you better get in a church that when you've been preached to and you've looked in your own heart and your life and you say, I'm not growing spiritually, I'm not interested in those things, I've been wrong, God forgive me. You better get in a church like that and start getting serious about serving God, because that's the kind of a church that's a spiritual church, and those are the kind of people that know how to pray for spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Today, across this land, even tonight, there are probably millions sitting on church pews, lost as a goose, with all sorts of corrupt ideas about what God requires from them to go to heaven. And most of them are sitting there believing that Jesus is God's Son, believing he died on the cross for their sins, but believing it's going to be necessary for them to help God complete what he has already begun in their lives. Sitting there in gross spiritual ignorance, because the natural man, he can understand that. Why? Because the natural man wants to help. It's just natural to want to help God. It's just natural to believe that God wouldn't do it all by himself, but he would require some effort on your part. Natural man can accept him having to do something. That's why Cain, right off the bat, decided he was going to do it a different way from what God wanted, because he had the better way. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who lived the life. He's the one who shed the blood. He's the one who made the redemption. He's the one who offered himself up as a living sacrifice. He's the one whom God resurrected from the dead, and he's the only one who can justify you, and he justifies you by your faith in his ability, not in your own ability. And when you finally come to the point in life when you realize we're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you realize that Christ died basically for what you and I are by birth and by nature, then for the first time in your life, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and just completely trust him and acknowledge you're a helpless, lost, worthless sinner. And when you put your faith in Christ, it's all over, because Jesus is Savior. You're not your own Savior. Jesus is Savior. He was sent to be a Savior. And when you trust him and him alone, he becomes your Savior. And from that point forward, with a new spirit in you, a new birth given you by the power of Almighty God, then for the first time in your life, you can go forward and serve Christ and learn the things that God has to teach you in his word. Today and tonight, all over this country, there are a lot of men in their natural bodies who have not the Spirit of Christ sitting on these pews. And they're sitting there and listening, and they're thinking about, how can I do this and keep from going to hell? How can I do this to serve God and ensure my going to heaven? And they're never sure whether they're saved, lost, or indifferent. They don't know. They're confused. The reason they're confused is because their natural man has control of their hearts and lives, and they've never known the truth and the love and the mercy and the compassion that was in that man at Calvary when he died to save them from what they were, totally helpless, lost sinners with no ability to save themselves. When a man finally realizes he's lost, then he can be saved. Until that happens, he'll never be saved. Now let's take a look at Jude 20 again. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I've gone back through here and I've tried to make a case from the Word of God to show you that to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost, you need to know what the Holy Ghost teaches. After all, if you're going to pray, and you're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, certainly you ought to know what he advocates you should say and shouldn't say. And I've shown you the Word is the instrument that he gave for that. It's not easy. I'm still learning. I'll be learning all my life what the best thing to pray for is, because that's a big book. I don't understand all of it, and I never will in this life. But I'm still studying. I'm still trying. I'm up here preaching you to something tonight that I researched and studied this week. I learned some things from this as I went through it that I didn't know before. That's what we all need to do. We all need to study God's Word and to look at our own hearts and lives and say, how can I better pray to the Lord by knowing what His Spirit indicated I should preach? Now notice, Jude 21. Now let's look at this in context after what I've shown you as backup to prove what I'm going to show you next. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Well, let's let the context answer it. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost if you don't keep yourself in the love of God. You say, well, Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. You're right. You say, I can't lose my salvation. You're right. You say, I've been passed from death to life. You're right. You say, I'll never again come under the condemnation of God. You're right. But you can get out of fellowship with God. Oh, God will always love you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. Once you've been born again, you're his child. But how do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Keep yourselves in the love of God. If you don't keep yourselves in the love of God, if you don't stay in fellowship with God, then, my friend, you can't pray in the Holy Ghost because you're out of fellowship and you're out of sorts with God. You say, well, I got nothing against God. I sure don't want to break fellowship with him. How do you get out of fellowship with God? Well, one of the major ways is to get mad or angry at another brother in church or sister and be suspicious of them. And another way is to talk about them behind their back and to be unkind about them and to cut them up and chop them up in little pieces in the name of being an objective critic. You yourself can't take it, but you expect other people to be able to take it, and you justify it because you think you know more than they do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't stay in fellowship with God if we can't stay in fellowship with one another. And we can't stay in fellowship with one another if we're continually chopping each other up and making objective decisions as to what's right and what's wrong. Make it by the word of God. And who made us God's little avenging angels? Nobody. We made ourselves that. You can't stay in fellowship with God if you're not in fellowship with the brethren in that church. God is a very forgiving God. And he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You're supposed to be compassionate, forgiving, and merciful. And so am I. And if I don't do that after preaching this to you, then I can't stay in fellowship with God, and I can't pray in the Holy Ghost, because it said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you get out of fellowship with God, it's because you don't have mercy on other people. You don't have mercy with your tongue. You don't have any mercy at all. You chop them up right and left, justify it in your own mind and heart. But you can't justify it before God. And God's not going to hear your prayers and answer your prayers and forgive you of your sins if you don't forgive those that trespass against you. He makes that very clear in the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you your trespasses. How do you do that? Let's take a look at John 15, 7 through 12. If ye abide in me, that's keeping yourself in the love of God. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about fellowship with the Lord. I'm talking about staying in fellowship with him, abiding in fellowship. If ye abide in me and my words, oh, there's the words again, the words the Holy Spirit wrote. And my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you're in fellowship with God, you're not going to ask for stupid things. You're not going to ask for things that give your flesh pleasure. The other day, someone told me that during the Miami football game, they were playing with Dallas, that one of the preachers, I think he was a preacher, I'm not sure, wasn't there, but they told me that he got up and prayed for Miami to win the game. You think God's going to answer that kind of a prayer? Well, Miami could have won the game, but it wouldn't be because God let him win the game. He didn't know what to pray for. Many ministers of God don't know what to pray for. Many children of God don't know what to pray for. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're in fellowship with God and his words that the Holy Spirit wrote, which things Paul spoke, most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How can you say that you're praying in the Holy Ghost if you're out of fellowship with God, if you're not abiding in his love? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Why is he going to do it? Because you're not going to ask for anything that's out of God's will. If you're in fellowship with the Lord and you're in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're not going to pray a stupid prayer, because you're right with God, your heart is right with God, and you're going to be interested in the things of God, and you're going to pray for things that are for the welfare of the church and for the individual members themselves, and you're going to pray for good things that God approves of, and you're not going to pray for dummy things. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. How do you abide in his love? How do you keep yourself in the love of God as his child? You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your love for the Lord if you keep my commandments. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Sometimes I think that the people at the nursing home, they think I'm soft-soaping them. I really think sometimes they do, Sister Barnes, Sister George. I don't think you do, but I think some of those older people over there think I'm soft-soaping them. I think they think I'm telling them something they want to hear to make them feel good, and I'm not. Here you are, 91, is that right? About 91?
That's right.
Well, close to it. Old, worn out, in a wheelchair. Absolutely, totally helpless to get out and run around and do all the things that we think are so important in serving God. But for the first time in her life, she has to rely completely upon God. God listens to her prayers. She comes and drags herself over here and comes to this church and sits here, and so does Sister Barnes. Sister Barnes and Sister George are in fellowship with the Lord, and they're serving God. Oh, they're not perfect. They both have bad thoughts and they sin just like the rest of us. But I'd rather have these two ladies praying for me than these two people on this earth. And I mean that with all my heart. And when I go to that nursing home, I ask those older people over there to pray for me because they're helpless. As long as we've got our flesh, we're always trying to help God. Peter was like that all of his life till he got old. And the Lord finally told him, he said, Peter, when thou art old, another shall gird thee. He said, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. When we finally realize we don't have any strength, and when we finally realize that we've got God's commandments and God's love, and we're willing to try to follow them, God's not asking us to climb Mount Everest. They can't climb Mount Everest, but they're here and they're worshiping God. You can't climb Mount Everest either, but you're here and you're worshiping God. You brought yourself down here and you want to serve God. My friend, we continue in God's word and in his love by being faithful in his church. And I don't believe there's a one of you sitting here that would do anything to hurt this church. I don't think there's a one of you sitting here would do anything to hurt anybody else in this church. And I thank God for you because I believe you love God. And I believe you love his church, his son's church that he died for. That's worth everything on this earth. I go to so many churches and I go there and I listen to the pastors. And I feel so sorry for them, my heart breaks for them. Because they've got all kind of problems and consternations in the church, and people are backbiting one another and being unkind to one another, and that's the problem in the church. They're not continuing in God's love, and God's not listening to their prayers because they're so interested in the world and they're so tied up with the things that thrill the flesh that they don't have time to communicate with God and pray for spiritual things. I'd rather have you pray for spiritual things for me than anything else on this earth. And so when you pray for me, pray that God will give me spiritual strength. And pray for my response to God's Spirit, because that's what I want your prayers to be. I want you to pray that I'll respond to God's Spirit and that I'll grow spiritually. That means a lot more to me than your prayers for me in the flesh. I thank you for any kind of prayer you offer up for me. But I want to be a more spiritual man than I am, and I want to be a better spiritual pastor to you. And that's the things I want for every one of you. And that's what's important in a church. So when you pray in the Spirit, it means you're in fellowship with the Spirit. And so tonight I ask you, are you in fellowship with the Spirit? Is your life and your heart right with God? Or have you been playing games with God, not even been in fellowship with him? I can't think of a better time to get right than tonight. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, we're going to have one stanza of invitation, and then we're going to close. If tonight God's laid it on your heart to come forward for any reason, if you think God's laid it there, then my friend, don't resist the Spirit of God. Come on down and get right in your heart with God, whatever it is between you and the Lord that's bothering you. What number?